there exists a subgroup, the nice guy. A dying breed of chivalrous, romantic, domesticated gentlemen whose qualities are desired by the opposite sex, allegedly. However, they are dismissed and confined in such concepts as the bestie, work husband, and the dreaded friend zone. Jason and Manny are the last of the nice guys.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another non-100th episode of Last of the Nice Guys podcast. We're going to continue to avoid it until we figure out how to get Joe down here and how to get Manny away from there so we can figure out how to get this 100th episode, which is supposed to be live at a conference with a tablecloth that says Last of the Nice Guys on it. That's how I envision it. That's how I want it. That's how it's going to be.
Well, that's what I'm going to wear.
Wait, what? A loincloth? We can wear togas. You want to do togas?
No.
Oh, see, look at that. Good guy, I love it. Gotta love it. All right, well, I'm Jason. That's Manny. And we're just going to get right into it. There's really nothing to discuss beyond what we're talking today about. And that is inspired by, whoopsie, there it is. Inspired by a post made by Ryan Davis on Reels on Instagram. It's called How Men View Happiness. We're going to play this, then we're going to react to it and see where the conversation goes. Manny, are you ready?
I am ready.
You're never ready.
I'm always ready. What makes you
happy? She gets happiness, fellas. And in return, you don't get happiness. You don't get happiness, and let's be honest, fellas, you don't even give a fuck about happiness. It's not our shit. No one's ever cared about our happiness.
Because we often are not the receptors of happiness and joy. We're often looking to provide it for someone else.
Men care about peace. As long as no one's fucking with me, what a day.
The opportunity to just be. So for me at 43, I've learned that my happiness is just me being able to just be where I'm not providing, where I'm not performing, I'm not talking, I'm not being someone giving a clinical analysis to their crisis. It's where I can just be, where I'm just settled into me.
This is just a...
Okay, so Ryan Davis is a comedian. And so what you're hearing was it was cutting back and forth between a joke he made on one of his stand-up sets and where he got the emphasis from, the inspiration from. And that's pretty much what it is. And so basically it's that men aren't really that concerned with happiness. The best we can get is peace. And peace is really all we need to exist in reality. I can say so much about this, especially where I am currently in my life, but I'm first going to give it to Manny, who's in a very different place in his life, arguably sadder. And but what do you think about what you heard? Men, so be very, very clear, women want happiness, women obtain happiness, men provide that happiness, but men only seem to either want or are able to obtain or can strive for peace. Discuss.
I think it's true. As creatures that
of the night. You did that. You gave us dead air. And those who are listening to us don't know what you just did. Carry on.
I tried to do the, was it Silence of the Lambs? Where he goes, the Chianti.
Yeah. I don't know if I did it right. That actually felt weird in my mouth. Anyway. Oh, you froze again. Okay. There you go.
We're both silent. I don't know what happened.
Yes.
But as creatures that were never really taught how to maneuver our emotions, I believe the only thing that we can actually control is our own peace. And because we harbor so much responsibility when it comes to relationships and raising children as far as provision and discipline. I believe happiness is, none of that comes with happiness. So I think a lot of it is just, we have to, you know, be able to do what we do to provide without something knocking us out of our track.
Right.
You know, because provision and discipline, that none of that is tangible with happiness. That doesn't, you cannot, unless you're sick, fuck. And you like to discipline people for happiness, but that's a whole nother.
I love. Oh God, what's it called? 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, I'm no kink shame. Needless to say, we bear a lot of that brunt negative portion of reality. So in order for us to maintain, you know, the keep on keeping on attitude, is we just need the peace. I mean, I understand that full. I don't look to be happy. What the hell is that even nowadays? Being happy, you know, just looking up at the sky and going, now you look like a creep. I believe happiness comes with, or a form of our happiness definitely comes with, you know, our own methodology of peace, because for us to continue moving forward with anything in life, again, we don't like to be derailed. I definitely don't like to be derailed. I can agree with that sentiment as far as that's concerned. I'm not looking to be happy. I'm just looking for something that's just not going to knock me off my world or my rocker.
The video, you know, said that we attain peace because peace is what I would say being content. And that's it's what I tell my sons, is that you should strive to be content, not strive to be happy. Not because there's anything wrong with happiness, but because happiness is fleeting. Happiness changes. What makes you happy today may not make you happy tomorrow. And it definitely won't make you happy in 5 years. So you're constantly chasing happiness. And that in itself produces cortisol and stress, and it's kind of the antithesis of it. So what I had been telling my sons, because it's what I came to, is that when I found peace, when I could wake up and look in the mirror and say, okay, it's Tuesday, let's go. Not, oh my God, it's Tuesday, great day. Or oh damn it, man, it's only Tuesday.
Making my way downtown.
Yeah, walking fast. No, you know what I'm saying? So when I realized that as long as you wake up, you just look in your mouth, you go, all right, let's go. Even, neutral. There's nothing wrong with that. Happiness really is, it's like I said, it's fleeting, and it should be something like, it shouldn't be your middle ground, your neutral. That should be your, you know, every once in a while you dip into it, kind of like a dessert. Like, oh, today is great. I had a happy day today. All right, that's the high, but let's go back to like, you know, neutral, real good. I don't think striving for happiness is realistic, because again, happiness is very fickle. Because you change, people change, the world changes, technology changes, opportunities change. So for example, here's a good example when it comes to materialistic things. I'm happy I got my bomb-ass Genesis car 2005. I'm happy in 2006 with it. 2007, they come up with another body. Oh man, now I want that. I'm not really that happy with my car anymore. You see what I'm saying? Like it's unattainable. Yeah. It doesn't last. And so I'm probably against chasing happiness. I'm truly against the pursuit of happiness. Women, however, pursue happiness, and that's all they want to be, is happy. And that's why their list is 10,000 things. It is why it is almost impossible to keep a woman happy once you've made her happy.
Yeah, because their interests and anything, their interests and wants are constantly pivoting and changing
correct.
I don't want to say daily. I was going to say like on the hour.
Yeah,
it's true.
It's true. You know what I'm saying? And nothing against them per se, but happiness is just, it's an irresponsible. Trendy. It's trendy. It is, but it's very irresponsible to focus on your happiness. It really is. Your personal growth, your well-being, your safety, your peace. Yes. But a focus on your happiness is very irresponsible. That being said, so you concur that men don't seek or can obtain happiness based upon the way society has us pigeonholed.
Correct.
I mean, in your Would you say that's what you're trying to do now? Is that your pursuit is of peace of mind or peace, or, you know, because I know, you know, you're hyper productive, and some would say you're trying to achieve happiness. You're trying to achieve, but are you or are you trying to achieve peace? Have you achieved peace?
I've achieved a form of peace where certain things in my life are no longer worrisome.
Okay.
Could I say that I'm 100% peaceful? No, I don't even think that's even achievable in today's society, considering everything that's going on.
Well, I'll tell you that, and that's another thing I tell my sons, is that I'm not saying be peace at peace every single day. I say, right, if you achieve peace 51% of the time, that's enough.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I want to be very clear. I'm not saying you wake up and every day, you know, stress just washes off of you like if it's a raincoat. No. But if you achieve peace of mind at least 50% of the time, you're where you need to be. Because unless you are to yourself, with yourself, by yourself, out of society, off the grid, you're not going to find a true peace. It's just not going to happen. So just make it very clear. I'm talking about at least if you're at peace more than half of the time, That's the gold standard from there. What are you looking at?
I'm just looking around the...
I was going to say, because I know you're by yourself. And I'm like, who... You look like you're, you know...
No, I'm sorry. I noticed that there was this whole... In the villa that I'm staying, they actually have...
Oh, you're in a villa? Tell us more.
Oh, hey, guys. Hi. I'm currently recording... from the U.S. Virgin Island of St. Thomas. I will be here for a week, and I'm currently staying in a huge ass villa that is too big for me and super lonely because there's nobody here to share this with.
Because you refuse to share with anybody.
Yeah, I do like my peace. It'd be cool, like, if I had the girls here, like, you know, because there it's within walking distance from the beach down there. You know, there's little sightseeing things for them to do. Like, I think the community that I'm currently in right now is family based.
Okay.
Because there's things to do here for the family or whatever. So
You sound like me in my vlog when I was traveling by myself and I was doing excursions that were clearly meant for either couples or family. And I was just like, man, this would have been great if I had like somebody with me.
Well, I never actually paid attention to the inside of my villa.
You decided to do that now on the podcast?
I was just looking around.
Did you want to take a moment to describe your villa to the audience?
Sure.
Cool. Here we go. I'm listening.
Huge ass living room. It's before you walk in, there's like a huge enclosed in-screened patio. It's got two bathrooms. It's got a full kitchen. It's, mind you, I don't know why it's got two full bathrooms when there's one bedroom, but whatever. Oh, there's a closet right there with two fold down twin beds. So that's probably why there's another bathroom there. Cause again, this is meant to be a family thing.
Why did you book this?
This is what the company had listed to use. So,
okay,
cool. It is what it is. It's got a back door.
he's got a closet and a back door, guys.
Yeah, I got a closet and a back door. Wi-Fi kind of sucks here, but
whatever. yes it does, because you
I've frozen a few times.
Yeah, so I'm kind of surprised, but
it's very homey here. Like, I feel like it feels like an Airbnb. It's got a huge Airbnb feel to it.
Don't threaten me with a good time, okay? Because you know me, I love me some Airbnbs.
But when I was looking over here, they have a whole little, like, what would you call this? Like a shelving unit thing.
Okay.
Full of...
Of holes?
No. What do they call them?
CDs.
Board games.
Oh, okay. This is a family. You are in a family villa, clearly.
Yeah. They got Jenga there. They got chutes and ladders, backgammon, bingo, chess.
When do you leave?
Tuesday.
Oh.
But this is the first time that I've actually... Today was the first time that I've actually... experience the inside of this, because I've been working 10 to 13, 14 hours.
And I know you love to experience the inside of stuff.
I like the inside.
I know you part. Do. I know you do.
So, peace of mind. That peace. I'm taking peace today. Yay.
Yay. You did mention how that you, I'm sorry, I'm looking up flights to the Virgin Islands just for the hell of it. I am, because it sounds amazing. I'm like, even if I can just leave tomorrow and leave with you on Tuesday out, that's still 2 days and whatever. But no, because it's funny, because you did say that. You did say, if you don't mind, you know, discussing how you are, you know, by yourself, and you're like, this is the first time in a long time, or, you know, that you've been...
truly alone.
Correct. And truly, what you were experiencing.
I've been more like self-reflecting, and I hate myself. No, I'm just playing. just more like at peace, not having to worry about work or my girls, even though like I'm constantly on the phone with my daughters anyways.
Right.
But it's just, I don't have to, and I feel bad because, again, as a co-parent, I don't like leaving the full responsibility to the other parent. But however, work dictates what I got to do, because work pays the bills.
Work does dick.
I do dick. What? I feel bad, you know, because she's over there dealing with them 100%. And I'm over here by myself twiddling my thumbs. And as a parent, that sucks for me, because I'd rather be over there fucking with them. But, you know, whatever.
Well, I mean, that's the problem with the whole 80-20 parenting rule we discussed, is that you're hyper wrapped up in being
a
daddy and your children, that you can't appreciate without some guilt or some reservation time to yourself. And right. The only reason why you have time to yourself is because of work, which afforded that option to you, and because nobody else went with you. You didn't choose this for yourself, and that's the problem with men not finding peace, is that you have to actually be put in a situation or forced sometimes
to
be in peace, you know. So it was up to you, like you just mentioned it, you wouldn't have been in this, you know, I don't want to say situation, in this opportunity to be by yourself, to be, God forbid, bored, or have silence, or to have drastically reduced responsibilities, and to be Manny the Man, who, we don't even know if Manny the Man knows who Manny the Man is, to be perfectly honest with you. So
like, it was interesting, because earlier today I was like, what am I going to do with myself? You know, I don't want to sit around and play video games all day or be on the internet all day.
I told you to go out and go do a vlog. I told you to go do an excursion. And listen, you're like, nah, bro.
My thing is, I explained to you while being here. Everything, driving is on the left side of the road, so I'm already not used to that. And then I'm used to driving in the mountains of New York, but they are so bad here. it's a complete up down. Like, listen, they have houses built on the side of the mountains. Okay,
that's cool.
And the driveway, this is, we'll call this the road right here, right?
Okay.
Regular road. There's a driveway where people park their car and they have to walk downstairs to their house. So
that's funny.
Their driveway is above the house or on the second floor of the house, and you have to walk down to get to the main entrance of your house. That to me was crazy. And I literally saw like a bunch of cars parked like this, and I was like, that cannot be good for the brakes. Or the suspension on the car.
Well, no, because that's because that's what they have emergency brakes for,
handbrake.
Yeah, the handbrake.
Yeah. I get that, but it's unsafe, bro. Like, it just looks like
It's not safe. It's just not safe.
It's not safe, man. Like, if I went and cut that guy's brakes, I'm killing like 10 people at least. Like, it's a problem.
I see what you're saying. But I mean, San Francisco is kind of like that too. They have a bunch of friggin' hills that's kind of, you know, scary as balls. I don't know if it's as bad as, but you.
They have that one. Well, the other thing is, in San Francisco, it's city-based. So everything's it's flat to the sense where you can always see what's in front of you. Here, there's a lot of grass and a lot of wildlife. Plant life, I should say, shrubbery, that gets in the way of everything. And I've barely been able to see around the corners when I'm making turns, and I'm like, I hope I don't die this time. Like, that constantly comes up in my head every time I'm driving. It's
get a taxi. They have taxis.
They do have taxis, but I don't want to be around other people.
You see what I'm saying? So he's but it's funny because when I went to, and this all wraps into peace, ladies and gentlemen. When I went to Panama with the Joe, the alleged host of this podcast, we had a friend there. Well, it's his friend, but I like to say now he's my friend too. And you know me, I'm going out there, I'm vlogging, I'm making sure that I'm making the most out of the time when I'm not working, that I'm not, and I'm using my Airbnb for what it's designed for, just to sleep. I'm not spending any quality time in there, which is kind of sad because some of the Airbnbs that I have rented are really great and I don't take full advantage of them because I just use them to sleep. I'm out there getting footage, or at least if not getting footage, I'm definitely, you know, getting some kind of adventure. Same thing happened in Panama. But this friend, he didn't want to do anything. He just wanted to stay around the resort. And the resort was great. I mean, it had food, it had a room, it had pools. It wasn't, I mean, they may have had like an event or two in the evening, but nothing like crazy like that. But he wouldn't. I to the point where I begged him, I said, come on the catamaran with us. We're dressed in white. We're going to go enjoy the Panama skyline. He's like, no. I said, okay, we're going to go see the Panama Canal. Come on with us. No. And he wasn't like depressed. He just said, honestly, you know, I'm glad you guys are having a good time. I'm glad you guys are making the most out of it. But this is kind of what I want. I just want to be in a pool. That's not my own pool that I don't have to clean. I just want to be in a bed that's not my own bed that I don't have to make up. I just want to be able to walk outside and have dinner that I'm not cooking or I'm not having to order anywhere. It's already there and ready or having room service. I just want to lay in bed and chill and watch some TV. And that's really what he wanted to do. And that's, please believe, that's all he did. If he was not in his room, he was at the pool getting the complimentary drinks. He just wanted to drink and be by the pool or chill in his room and have dinner come out. He didn't go on any excursions and he was happy. Well, or at least content or at peace. And that's what he wanted. And I'm pretty sure because Joe stayed with him. I had an Airbnb. It was too late for me to get a resort. Plus they had like day passes. I was like, I might as well just do day passes because I'm not going to really enjoy the resort like that. Why am I going to waste money for a resort? So I got an Airbnb right around the corner from the resort. And I won't say, I think he enjoyed when we often did his own thing. And his family too. It was a family trip and they would go too. So there's really nobody left to like bug him or say, where are you? Or come hang out or whatever. I think he actually was glad even more so that when we left, you know, it was just him, the resort and himself. And he was at peace. I could see it. He wasn't anything. When he came back, he'd be at peace. And I respect that kind of a thing. And that's what it's about.
It's probably what I'm going through right now. It sounds kind of more or less what I'm dealing with because I'm here.
Yes.
And my world is currently quiet.
Yes.
You know, and I don't want to sound selfish or anything or whatever, but my world is never quiet. Not that I'm complaining about it. But
you're commenting, but why would it be wrong to have a little complaint that you don't have any peace of mind or any quiet? What's wrong with that? Why is it as men?
There isn't wrong with that. That's right,
But you had to put a little asterisk. You had to put a little caveat in there. Like, I'm not selfish, but why do you feel like you have to defend that? What is wrong with us as men, as providers, as fathers to say, you know what? I'd appreciate to be left alone a little bit. I'd appreciate some quiet, you know. It doesn't take away from my responsibilities for the love of my children. Because I'm telling you, Maddie, and I've said this to you, I just celebrated my youngest son's 20th birthday. I now have a 21-year-old and a 20-year-old. I have no more teenagers now. So not only do I not have any more kids, any more minors, I don't have any more teenagers now. That's it. The funny thing, though, is that my son... What he said his dad, he said, you know, happy birthday. We hugged it like really, really tight. And he said, guess what? I was like, what? He's like, I beat teen pregnancy. And he walked away from me. So that was a dig on me because, again, I was father to be at 19. And it was it's a funny joke. But that's what I'm talking about is that when he said that, I beat teen pregnancy, means if he was to have a kid now, God forbid, he's still way better than me and his mother were. So the point is that as I continue to watch my sons grow and grow and grow, and they rely upon me significantly drastically less, with the oldest one in Orlando and the youngest one working like a dog, I'm typically in this house alone, in quiet, hearing a bunch of shit. Like, I'm like, this, I don't know what's going on. Whether the house settles or the house friggin' has ghosts. I don't know what it is, but I'm just like, I know nobody's here. What is that sound upstairs? Anyway, because I was so wrapped up in being a father that now that I have all this time to just be, I don't know who that is. And like I said, luckily for me, I have my master's degree program. I have my traveling. I have my vlogs. I have this that I don't really have to like really have an existential crisis about it. Because if I didn't have all these, you know, arguably distractions, I would be miserable because I never gave myself time. I never gave myself peace, you know. And even when I did, oh, well, you don't have your kids all the time. You're right. But I had them more often than not, and I was always on call, and I would, you know, drop things. I've said this many times. I would drop things to go get them, whether they called for me or their mother called for me, because that was my, I was wrapped up in that. What is wrong with saying, because I don't feel bad about saying this, that, and I made it very clear, I did right by my children, but I did a disservice to me.
I don't feel bad for saying it. I just, I mean, people that know me know. But this is what I'm saying. This is the thing. People that know me know that I don't have to make that statement. If right. I take a trip and I take a vacation by myself, or I disappear by myself to for whatever reason it is, people that know me are understanding that I need it. There's no reason to have it. There's no reason to not take it or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. I just made that caveat for people that have something to say.
But what I'm saying though is you shouldn't have to. As a man,
I shouldn't.
You're doing what you have to do. You're working hard. You're a good father. As a man, you shouldn't have to feel like you need to make that caveat. That's what I'm saying. And I'm not just throwing it on you. Me too. Generally speaking,
you
know what I'm saying? Like I said, I did right by my kids, but I did a disservice to myself. What I should be able to say is throughout my entire young adulthood, I did a disservice to myself. I shouldn't have to say I did right by my kids, but that's my phrase. That's my caveat in the statement. I did right by my kids, but I did a disservice to myself. In reality, forget them kids. I did a disservice to myself. At some point, I could have and should have allocated time for personal growth, for education, for self-discovery, hence the 80-20 rule. And that's where men don't find their peace, because when it's finally time to find peace, they're too old and battered that it doesn't even matter. And peace is not the same thing as quiet. Well, just to be very, very clear, peace and quiet, that's why it's peace and quiet, but peace within yourself is not the same thing as quiet. What men attain in their later life is typically quiet, but not peace, because your mind is screaming, woulda, shoulda, coulda, wouldas. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's annoying that we have to feel like we need to say certain things like that. In my opinion, I don't know. I don't know if you feel it, but this particular video hit me when it said, you know, women strive for happiness. Men, you know, we hope to obtain peace. And it sucks. And also is very, very, very resonant with what I'm dealing with right now. As Jason the man is who I am and trying to figure out, you know, what that entails.
No, it's understandable and it makes sense. It is annoying that in today's society, you have men that say, just put up and shut up and deal with it. That's life. Move on, move forward. And then you have the women that are like, well, I don't want to hear none of this nonsense anyways. That's your job to do so anyway. So it's like you're getting attacked from both sides.
Yeah.
No one really talks about, you know, women talk about it. Women talk about their feelings, their worries. They just talk about anything. But men don't. And that's a problem. I'm not going to say it's a huge problem because, again, we've
It's a huge problem because men die sooner than women.
Oh, yeah.
And men have a higher risk of suicide, a higher rate of suicide.
In that aspect, yes. But I mean, generally speaking, like most men that don't suffer from those kind of silent demons.
It can be argued that most men do suffer from silent demons.
And depending on the silent demon. and how you deal with those and how you deal with.
But that's right. But that's what I'm saying. You're still suffering with it, period. No matter how you deal with it or not, whether you solve it in a minute or you have to deal with it for 10 years, I would argue that most men suffer from silent demons to some degree, occasionally throughout their life. And a man who doesn't is just, you know,
a liar.
is super lucky, super well off in a way, and or is oblivious to what really is going on, and is blissfully ignorant. But I would say most men do suffer from silent demons.
Well, they're constantly men suffer from silent battles on a daily basis because their mind is always on what do I need to do next, or what can I do next, or what can I do better, how can I be better. They're always trying to figure out the next move, whereas women are forcing the next move. They're trying to dictate how paths are changing, and they're always there. It's chaos. It's a chaotic way of thinking. You can't change how things are meant to be just because you will it or want it to be that way. And that's how most of them think.
Well, you know, you've never read Laws of Attraction, but carry on.
Mainly, like, you know, for instance, just to say something stupid, I want to buy a brand new car. You know, men will think of ways of how to get there, and women are like, no, I want it now. I need it now. It can't be, I don't want it next week. I don't want it next year. I want it now.
So you're talking about there that they're more impulsive then, as opposed to calculating. Okay. Okay. All right.
And that's the issue where, like, that's why I said the man's silent battle is how can I progress? How can I do better? Whereas the women is more selfishly incurred, you know, what do I want today?
And of course, we're just generalizing. Not every woman is the same, or whatever. Blah blah blah. Whatever you guys want to say.
They're all the same.
That's right. But no, we're talking like super general terms, as in, you know, maybe most or the majority. But you know, every one of you think, because I know that my friend, she fancies herself to be, and in many ways she is considered a unicorn. A unicorn is a woman who's significantly less tendencies that we complain about on this podcast. Is they call them unicorns. They're, you know, they may pay for a date, they may make the first move, they have sexual desires, they are respectful and attentive and whatever, and they have some traditional values. Unicorns, right? And you know, they're not demanding, you know, allegedly. So she whenever I'm talking about these topics, you know, what women do or don't do, she gets hyper defensive, saying, well, you know, stuff like, I don't do that, or the people around me don't do that. And I keep telling her, listen, when I discuss these things, we have these debates, it's not about you. You're going to take yourself out of the equation. Like I take myself out of the equation. It really, what I'm talking about is the zeitgeist, the majority views, or the majority behavior, or the consistent behavior, or the expected behavior that women tend to show in society versus men's expected behavior. Of course, it varies between people, and it's different severities between people. And of course, some of the things, some of the traits you don't do. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't ignore my woman to go, you know, friggin' play video games all day or whatever, or drink beer or whatever crap they think that men do. Just like she wouldn't expect a man allegedly to pay for all the dates. Sure. But, you know, so that's why I put that caveat in. Just so you guys know, we're not saying all women. I would argue most women, or at least the typical woman, I would say. And the typical woman is most women. And most women have, all women have some traits of the typical woman. It's just a reality. Just like all men have some traits of a typical guy. So just understand that when we say these things, we're not saying 100%. There is 100%. We might be saying 87%. Though, so sorry, I had to put that caveat in.
I forgot where I was going with my comment, but needless to say that the topic piece is different for every individual. Or each sex or whatever. So for instance, men obtain to procure a long standing method of peace, whereas women, it's more like, right now, this is what I want. And again, it goes back.
Would you call that peace? Would you call that peace? I don't think women.
No, I don't consider that peace for them. I think
that's carnal happiness or pleasure.
I would compare it, and I hate to say it like this, I would compare it to something like recreational drugs.
Okay. Oh, so the dopamine hit, the high.
Right. So men smoke the spliff, take their time.
What do you enjoy know about them? You're very natural. You look very natural doing that.
I've smoked in my day. But, yeah. You know, they take
their time. So have I. Long time ago.
They take their time and they're enjoying the moment. And life is still progressing. Whereas women are taking hands full of cocaine and just...
Yeah.
And they're losing their mind. And you can compare it to that because it's just that quick high, that quick thing. I got to get it done. And it's chaotic. And that's the problem. And that's why women cannot understand men need peace rather than the fleeting happiness that they're constantly searching for.
Yeah.
And yep. And it makes for a very chaotic method of life.
Which explains a way a man can find peace is through, like, playing video games, and he can play video games for hours and never be. And a woman could never get. How can you just sit there and play a game all day and not move? And it would annoy them. You know, there's those memes where women actively get pissed off when their man is having fun or enjoying themselves or at peace because, like, how dare you? You know, have peace and fun without me, kind of a thing. And that's really what it is.
You see this new TikTok trend.
I don't follow trends.
No, but this is the thing. It's a man and his girlfriend or wife or whatever, and the man says, "I finally found something that men can do that women cannot." And then he takes a step back and he just sits there quietly. And the woman the entire time is like, "I could do that too." Oh, what is it? Because your hands are different. Is your posture? Is it this? Is it that? And she's sitting there in her chaos, trying to figure out what he's doing, and he's just sitting there. And she's like, "Are you even breathing? Like, what are you doing? I don't understand. What is this? Why is this so chaos?" Oh, and the whole thing is, men can be quiet and stay silent.
Yep.
For a long period of time and be still and not be chaotic. And the whole reason, because she's trying to control what's going on. So she needs to know what's going on. Well, I can do it too. No. And that's the difference. And that those videos typically show the difference with peace, especially with peace when it comes to men and women. And I thought those were great because a lot of the times, you know,
I would love to do that trend with somebody because that'd be great. Because it's true. It's something it's so funny. I'm just imagining who I would do it with. Just laugh my ass off as they try to figure out what I'm trying to do. And all I'm doing is just sitting still and just stare at the camera, being cool, you know?
And that's all the men are doing. They're just sitting there, just standing there with their hands to their side or their hands in front of them. And the women are losing their minds the whole time. And just, "I can't, what are you doing? I don't understand." And then, you know, the other side of it, the other videos or whatever that you mentioned with the video games is, I mean, I've seen women destroy gaming consoles because they feel their men spend too much time on them. And that right there is chaotic to me. That's insane. How do you go to destroying something, you know, and it's not even a monetary value. It's just to deviate to another video that I saw. A man says, "Do you know why men spend so much time or any time at all playing video games rather than dealing with reality? It's because they feel accomplishment when they're playing video games." Something in the game, a quest was completed, or they earned, you know, certain monetary value or an item or a special item of some sort. They feel accomplished and they feel the appreciation that they're not receiving at home. Mm-hmm. And that is a very big problem, you know, in most relationships that deviates men from their peace. You know, all we need is to be appreciated. And we feel like we accomplished, and a sandwich, God damn it. And, you know, we just need to feel like we're going in the right direction, not that we're being attacked every 2 seconds.
No, I agree. I agree because I remember saying this, and again, not to, you know, attack what's her face, you know, the baby mama. But what I'm saying is that I'm technically co-parenting with my best friend, right? I've been in her son's life since day one. He is now 8, right? And you know, I go to parent-teacher conferences, I do all stuff, and I'm just like, wow. And she shows me so much appreciation that it's crazy. And I know part of it comes from you're not his dad, so you know, I got to give you the praise, but it's also praise for being that guy, showing up, you know, saying. Even another friend of mine, I was there, you know, I wasn't like replacing his dad, but I was a positive male role model. And so she had invited me to his thespian play, whatever. And I went there, and I went like I usually do, right? And his dad was there too. And I said, what's up? And she posted on social media a picture of me, you know, hugging him, you know, because I was very proud of him because he's really good. And he's found his niche, you know? And she put on social media, this man has been showing up for my son since day one. And what they don't realize is, even though I appreciate the appreciation, it kind of hurts. It kind of hurts because I get appreciation and accolades from my friends who I've been there for their sons, and I had only ever gotten hell from my actual mother of my children.
Situation.
You know what I'm saying? Like, she has never shown me, said, you know what, you never want to be your father, but goddamn, did you rise to the occasion. Thank you. Or when I took them on, or for taking them more often than not, or taking them full time for what, 6-7 years now. None of that. And we say, well, you never thanked her. That's not true. I years ago thanked her for giving birth to my sons, even though I didn't want them. I did. I said, you know what? It was around the time I said, you know what? Thank you for giving birth to them, because although I may not have wanted to be a son, although I didn't want to have sons or have kids at all, you know, the joy that I feel now, I could not see myself without them. And that was only a few years into them living. They were still babies or toddlers, because I did a quick turnaround from, you know, fuck them kids, to damn, this is warming my heart. It was a really quick turnaround time. And so when I'm getting praise or Happy Father's Day or respect and appreciation as a man or as a pseudo father or as a male, you know, father figure from these people, I'm just like, why? This is so easy. This is what co-parenting is. And, you know, appreciation is big. We don't get that crap. All you do is poke holes in it. You know what I'm saying? I'm there. I have my, and it's not typical. I've had my sons half the time, all right, Sunday to Wednesday, every week for the most part. That was the bare bones of what it was. It was usually more. That's not typical of a father who's not with their mother. Usually they just see them, what, 4 days, 4 times a month. Mm-hmm. That's typical. You don't get what you, me, Joe, and some other men, you know, that are there. That's not typical. So when you have a father who has their kids half the time, all the time, without complaint, and is willing to be there at your call or at their call without complaint, pays what needs to pay without a complaint, if he accidentally goes to the wrong pediatrician's office because you change the pediatrician on him, you're going to jump on his ass about that? As opposed to like, well, you know what? Did he know that I changed the pediatrician? Did I give him the right information? You know, did I remind him? Does he, you know what I'm saying? And furthermore, it's a mistake. It's not an excuse. He's coming anyway. You know, to give him a hard time. These are things that I would deal with. You know, you poke holes.
It goes into the whole chaotic mindset that women have, because there have been times that in my experience where rather than taking accountability for having to forget having mentioned certain things have changed or certain things at all, instead of saying, my bad, I forgot to tell you, or my bad, I never told you, my bad, whatever, it never came out of my mouth to you, it's always, how did you fuck that up? How did you mess that up? How could you? What kind of parent are you? Yep. You know, all you do is screw up. It's like, I didn't know. How did you not know? I spoke about it this long ago. Yep. Or you can't even tell me what happened yesterday. Yep. So you expect me to remember something you said to me 2 months ago, but you can't even tell me what happened yesterday. How does that work?
Yep.
You don't even take the accountability. And that throws off our peace, right? Because now we have to sit there and wonder, like, Did I fuck up? Who really fucked up?
Exactly. Dude, when that happened, that's a real scenario that happened to me several years ago. I about face. I'm driving to the correct pediatrician office and I'm beating myself up. Damn it, man. I just showed I'm worthless again. Damn it. I made a mistake and now I look stupid and she's right to be treating me. That's how I felt. Mm-hmm. When the reality was, it could have been me. Let's say she did tell me, but you know, how long ago was this? Is this the first time? I mean, who cares? In the end, it was a mistake. Did you need to jump down my throat about it? Did I need to get inside my head and be like, you know, wow, man, you're just proven how worthless you are. Like that's I remember that drive. I remember about facing on Pembroke Road or whatever it was and saying, damn it, man, you just gave your ammunition to just show how shitty you are. Like I felt like shit. And it's just a simple mistake, you know? I think that was the third pediatrician that she had chosen. Like, what do you expect?
And that's another thing that is a huge issue with co-parenting is that, you know, we're all humans, we all make mistakes. Mm-hmm. So it should be understood that mistakes are possible and that they mm-hmm. can happen. And mistakes don't get fixed when you're aggressively attacking them. You have to find a medium and you have to find a way to shit. What's the word? I can't remember the word.
Accommodate. Be understanding. Have sexy time.
Sexy time always makes sexy time and making daddy a sandwich always makes
always works
things better. Always compromise works. Was the word that I was looking for. But thank you.
I was getting there.
But you have to find a means to have empathy.
Yes.
And that's another thing that women lack today. And be able to just be like, you know what? It's okay. You screwed up. It's not the end of the world. And that's the huge thing that they need to understand. Mm-hmm. It's never always the end of the world. Never. Things happen. Things change. And things can be a lot of like, for instance, your doctor's office visit or whatever. That can be changed. It can be mm-hmm. edited. Yeah. It's not the end of the world because you missed an appointment.
Yeah.
There's no reason to attack you because you went to the wrong office.
Yeah.
And that mindset is very chaotic. And that's the crazy thing.
It's not only just chaotic, it's one-sided. Because in the event that that's switched up, if you attack them for the exact same mistake, you're wrong. You're an aggressor. You're inconsiderate. You know what I'm saying?
And you're toxic, man.
You're toxic. And furthermore, you need to be understanding. It happens to them. It's allowed to happen to them. My phrase used to be is that any of the nonsense she used to do or her fuck-ups as a mother, I said, had I done it, her and whoever in her family at the time that didn't like me would have jumped down my throat. But because, I was the mother, you know, she was allowed to make mistakes. What are we talking about? How is that peaceful? How is that okay? Kind of a thing. And it's a shame because that goes back to peace of mind. It goes back to, which is why my main thing now is if anybody attacks my peace of mind, you're out. Here's a good example. An old coworker came back around. Just one of those, hey, Jay, female, of course. Hey, Jay, how are you? You know, I went by the old job and I thought about you, wanted to see what's going on with you because they knew that I had left the healthcare. I said, hey, what's up? And we met up a couple of times, looked great, was great. I told her, weight loss and what I'm doing for weight loss and what I'm doing for feng shui. And I told her when we first met that my main priority is my peace of mind. And anything that attacks my peace of mind, I separate myself from it immediately. So skip forward. She finds out that I'm about traveling and everything like that. I'm doing great. And she wanted to go to New York. And I told her, well, A, I don't really like going to New York. She knows this. And B, I might be going to Panama. And if I have a chance to go to Panama, which you guys know I did, I'm going to Panama. So she files that away into her little cabinet. And then she all of a sudden is like, I'm going to go to Barcelona. You should come with. And I'm like, ah, got it. Sure, I'll come. I just got to see. Let me look up flights. Let me figure it out. So she, I was trying to plan it with her. And then she found flights on her own. I was like, oh, okay, cool. We're on the phone. And I'm on my three or four different planning sites looking for good flights to Barcelona saying, okay, can I make this work? Caveat is I had just come up from Panama and Panama kicked my ass. Mm-hmm. It kicked my ass because that was the first trip that I took after my son after, you know, pretty much financing my son's move to Orlando. And by choice, I'm helping him with half his rent and I'm paying his utilities. And I highly underestimated what that did, what that would do to my budget. So I went to Panama and came back and then had to face those bills as well. It kicked me at my ass. So I'm trying to figure out Barcelona. And she knows. I said, oh, let me see, because I just came from Panama and the wallet hasn't healed yet. Made that very clear. So we're on the phone looking up flights. And I'm like, you know what? We'll talk later then. I'll look for flights. Then, this is in August, by the way. Then I realized, holy shit, my son, the same one in Orlando, his 21st birthday is coming. I need to do something with him. What does that require? Money. Mm-hmm. So I told her, I said, hey, I'm not booking my flight yet. I forgot my son's 21st birthday. And I did. I forgot his birthday is coming up. I have to do something with him. After that, I will look at what the bank account looks like. I said, I'll let you know Monday. That Monday came and I made the executive decision. Could I have gone to Barcelona? Yes. But did she want to jump around different locations? And I had to work from Barcelona too. And I just looked at the whole thing. The money, the lodging. She's like, we'll figure out the lodging when we're out there. I looked at the whole thing and it sounded great. But you have to add work and money in it. And I said Monday, I said, listen, boo-boo, I thought about it. The budget's not there for it, so, but have fun. What do you think she responded with?
She came down on you?
Exactly. She said, and I quote, yeah, that's what I figured, boo-boo. Next time, just lead with honesty. And I replied with, what was I dishonest about? And she basically said, you faked looking up flights on the phone with me, right? And I knew you were going to go. You should have just said you didn't have the money and everything would have been fine. I said, wow. So I lied about looking for flights? Is that what you're saying? And she's like, boo boo, I'm not. She's like, I'm not mad. Just next time, leave with honesty. There's no reason to be dishonest about it.
A very passive aggressive approach.
I responded with, enjoy your trip. That was it. I was done. I couldn't believe it because I felt the old Jason coming, who had to defend himself and prove himself and be like, no, I didn't to be that guy. I know I was looking up flights. I knew that I made a decision and why I made it and when I made the decision. And furthermore, for you to assume I had something to prove to you or why, what? The question I have to this day is, what did I gain from lying about looking for flights and then 3 days later telling you I can't do it? What did I gain in those 3 days that you think I need to lie to you on a Friday to tell you the truth on a Monday? What, when somebody lies.
Do you know why that doesn't make sense to us? And that was her go-to excuse for it happening?
Please.
Because that is a woman thing to do.
Okay.
They cancel at the last minute thinking that they have the upper hand in certain situations.
There was a last minute. I had a whole month before this trip was supposed to be. This is August. It was going to be September, but I get it.
But that's a woman thing to do.
Right.
And they leave the man hanging or whatever. It's not logical because when we think about logic, it doesn't make sense to us. Why would we do something? Why would we drag you along, made you believe that something was happening or whatever the case is, and then ultimately turn around and be like, nah, we're good. As logical thinkers, that doesn't make sense to us.
Right.
To women with their emotional mindset,
right.
It disproves a point of power, whereas women do it all the time, so they feel like they have the upper hand every time they do it. Non-related video. Woman says, I slept with a man and I ghosted him. And he thought he was the man. So to prove my point, I slept with him and all of my friends slept with him and we all ghosted him. And the interviewer goes, so wait, you and all of your friends slept with the same guy? And she said, yeah. And then you guys just stopped talking to him out of nowhere. It wasn't him that ghosted you. You ghosted him. She's like, yeah. And I bet he feels like shit right now. And the guy was like, you know, he doesn't, right? He's going around all his friends right now talking about how he smashed
like a bunch of
all chicks. These chicks, a group of friends. And you're sitting here thinking something completely different.
Yeah, that is so stupid.
Do you see? What do they call it? Girl math.
Like that is the dream. Could you imagine? Oh my God. But my story's not over yet, but carry on.
No, but that's the reason why it doesn't make sense to you or to us why right. it happened that way, because right. their mind there it's a controlling thing. And right. It doesn't to this day I still don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
But we just think logically, like, why would we drag? We're not going to drag it along if it doesn't make right. sense. Why would we do that? But they don't understand that way. But go ahead and continue.
No, but even if we did, like I said, drag you. If I dragged you along until the week before the trip, and then I pulled out of the trip. Oh, I never booked my flight. Oh, I'm not coming. I get it. You see what I'm saying? That's stringing you along. But when I never committed to the trip to begin with, I made it very clear that I just came back from a different trip, and I'm like, I don't know, but I'll look. Kind of thing. I mean, I said, I'd like to go. I didn't, you know, maybe.
She had an expectation that you did not fulfill.
Correct. Clearly.
And that's the problem.
So here's the thing. So she, and that was it. No response. You know, she double and triple down, right? The next message she sent me was, hey, Pookie or Pooks, whatever she calls me. She says, and mind you, this is just friends. There's no anything there, right? She says, hey, I don't know why you got so mad. I was just saying that you didn't need to tell me you were coming when you weren't coming. And for the record, you did this twice already. You did this with New York and you did this with Barcelona. So going forward, I'm no longer going to invite you to any trips. So if you wanted to invite me on trips, the ball's in your court. That's what she sent me. And I looked at that text message and I opened it and I closed it. And I haven't spoken to her since. She did she go to Barcelona? Probably. That was August. It's now November. I haven't heard. She hasn't messaged me back, and I have not responded to that message. She tripled down on that nonsense, and I'm just like, I don't. Who do you think you are? You say you know for a fact that you just called me a liar. You called me a liar on something so superficial. It's crazy. You going on this trip had nothing to do with me. You didn't need me for the trip. You appreciated my company, and I respect that, and I appreciate that. But you didn't need me. I didn't stop you from doing anything. I'm still not stopping you from doing anything. So what was the point of calling me a liar to then affect my peace? To then guess what? Get shown the door. That's it. And I will not. And if she reaches out again, if I feel inclined to respond, it would be listen. You know, it was great talking to you. It was great catching with you. Take care of yourself. But I told you when we first met that anything or anybody that impacts my peace has to go, because my peace of mind is now number one. It is above. It is above traveling. It is above my kids. It is above making money. It is above school. It is above my all these podcasts and editings. It is above everything. And it's second only to my physical health. That's it. Only my physical health / being, you know, working out and stuff, because let's be real, doing fasting and working out, that doesn't give me peace. It doesn't give me any peace at all.
No, you're very irritable.
I am. It doesn't give me peace. It does not give me peace at all, but it is important. And that's why that's the only thing that's second to my peace. But my peace of mind is number one. And I told you this, and you effectively, because you knew you broke my composure when I responded with, you think I'm lying? For what? So yeah, peace of mind is very important. And that's the sad part about it, though, is that so she got her carnal pleasure, her happiness. She got to go to Barcelona. She enjoyed it. But in her pursuit of that, she affected my peace and she lost a connection. She spent time rebuilding again. And that's where I am now. It's just I want my peace. I need my peace. I demand my peace. I deserve my peace. And I'm pretty sure you feel the same way. Final thoughts about this before we wrap this up so we can go and do our next venture?
Just women, ladies, she-males, whoever.
Oh, Fonzer.
It is 100% accurate into understanding that
it is your fault. Let me stop.
It is always your fault. It will always be your fault. And you just need to understand that you just need to shut up and make a sandwich.
That's
and,
right.
And that's it.
No, yeah. But no. Peace of mind for men.
Peace of mind for men, 100%, man. Like they always say, and there's a ton of videos out there that misconstrue the situation or the understanding of peace of mind for men. I've seen a bunch of videos where it's like, you know, men only want peace so they can go around cheating and lying and hiding and this and that.
Wait, whatever. What? How do you,
right.
what?
How, right.
What?
So
where have you heard that? What?
There have been videos.
How,
How
there
do you
are,
go?
Listen. There are videos.
I'm getting mad now. You're affecting my peace.
There are videos that I've watched that women have understood that the nagging and the whining and the up their ass or whatever situations that women do, men don't like. For obvious reasons.
Okay.
So those women think that if they remove that factor from their relationship to give their man their peace, it's so that their man can go out and not have to worry about the phone going off all the time, so they can go out and screw around and do whatever they want to do. Stupid understanding of the situation. But
they can't use the logic that by everything you just described would push a man to go out and sneak around and leave them or go out and find peace or pleasure elsewhere. That is the most oxymoronic statement or concept I've ever heard. That you think that if a man at peace rests. You know what it means to be at rest? It means you stay put.
And that's the other thing is that you know how some men go out for their peace.
Right.
So a lot of women think that he's lying when he's going out. Like if he's going out golfing with his friends or he's going out hunting with his friends or whatever, he's not really doing it. He's smashing Susan.
That's the issue for them. That's not our piece. That's your problem. Right. And we made it very clear in this podcast that if you have doubt and you can't get solace from your significant other, then you're out. You move on and work on yourself or find somebody that you can feel comfortable or whatever with. But to visit that, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah, I didn't mean to trigger you. Sorry.
Oh my God.
A man's peace is not based on your lack of insecurity or your lack of security within yourself. A man's peace is just as it sounds, peace. We don't want to come home from work to an argument that you had or an argument or a situation you had with a neighbor that you started, or an argument with a family member that you started. Like, we don't need to come home and hear this. That could have been a simple text message, or at least let us de-stress from the long ass work day that we had.
Correct.
Before you come with your chaotic nonsense, you know, feed our bellies. There's a lot of other videos that I saw. Actually, one popped up today. The lady said, "Men, do you want to make, or sorry, women, do you want to make your man happy? Feed him, fuck him, leave him alone."
Yep.
That was it.
Yep.
And I'm sorry to put it so bluntly like that. I'm not saying you got to fuck them all the time, but it does help.
A nice regular cadence of some intimacy would be nice. We'd appreciate it.
It helps with the de-stressing of the world that we live in today. Are you going through stress? No one's saying that you're not going through stress. No, but your stress is a lot more verbal. So we need to gear up.
It's a lot more verbal.
We need to prepare for that first. We have to prepare for that first. We just left into the open world of craziness and nonsense. And now we have to come back. Let us de-stress from that before we can deal with the next, whatever you're bringing to the table, whatever you want to bring in. So that's what it means to be peace. Just understand what your man needs, what he likes, what he wants. Try and give him those things as often as possible. And that will make him and you a lot happier in the relationship. Peace. That's the important key here.
I think the important part is that you women do a lot of this. I do. You need to fuck up. A little bit of this. Don't be stop. All right. Well, I mean, I can't
little
see
this.
Nice guy's my ass. Anyway, that's about it. I mean, there's nothing more I can say. That's it. And you know, we find a topic and we let it go where it goes. And this is where it took us. So thanks for tuning in to the Last of the Nice Guys podcast. And I'm Jason. That's Manny. And thank you for your time.
The Last of the Nice Guys. Follow, like, and subscribe on Twitter and Instagram at Last Nice Guys. Facebook.com/Last Nice Guys. Or email lastoftheniceguys@yahoo.com.
This is an audio production of Vibe Revelation Studios, the cure for your common day. VibeRevStudios.com.